Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, a kindness of a savior.
Move the mountains. My-
afraid of brokenness, to wash your feet with humble tears. Oh, I would be poured out till nothing's left, 'cause I just want to wait on you, my God. Oh, I just want to dwell on who you are. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, I am lost for more to say. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful to me.
Blessed be the God and Father of Jesus Christ the Son, who chose us for a blessing ere time had yet begun, that we redeemed his children might
Thank you. Thankful to each of you who are parents who have sponsored young people here at the conference this week. We want to let you know that we have had a very enjoyable time with your children, with the young people. And it's a privilege for me to stand and represent our brother Chuck Berry, our brother Emil Nashet, our brother John Redekop, others who have worked all week with your children and young people. It's a privilege to handle the next generation. We do not take it lightly. It's a serious responsibility. And yet we do it with great joy because we know if the Lord should tarry, He is looking for those to whom we can pass the baton. And we have sat with the young people this week, young men, young ladies, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have told them that this is training time for them. And that it is an important time and that they should buy the time up to understand that at this moment in their life, God wants to instruct them from His Word. And that if He would tarry, there is coming a time when they're going to have to step forward to be teachers and leaders. But it's only going to be possible if they have taken the time to learn at this stage. Now, we spoke about a lot of things this week, and I'm not going to go into all of them because I want you as parents and guardians, when you're in the car going home tomorrow, Sunday around the dinner table, and next week, I want you to ask them in detail about what they learned here at a week at Grove City College, at Easton Bible Conference. I want you as parents to find out if they have listened and if they have learned some of the lessons that we have sought to teach them. And I want to speak first to those of us who are parents, because I think that in this day it is very, very vital. It is critical that we have a vision for the next generation, that we realize that if the Lord would tarry, that He would desire to have your son and my daughters, your daughters, to be those who He would raise up and use in our local assemblies. It is not the desire of the heart of the Lord Jesus that He would give a mother children that would be born through her loins, and a father to have children that He would name for them to go out into the world. I don't believe either that He would bring a child into my family amongst the saints that I walk in practical fellowship and bring that child up to go amongst another gathering of believers. I don't believe that. I believe that He has given children to myself and my wife and to you and your wives so that they might grow up amongst those to whom we walk in practical fellowship. So I want to charge us as parents that all the energy that God has given you and I, that we use it to focus on our children. We use a lot of energy for work. We use a lot of energy to buy and to build. But the greatest thing that you and I can do in terms of our energy is to focus our children towards the Lord Jesus. Now, I'd like to read just very briefly from the 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we have been in this book the entire week. We've sought to instruct our children and our young people. And there have been many lessons that we have sought to teach them about this epistle that was written to Timothy, a young man. It was not written to an assembly. It was written to a young man about the day of ruin that begun when Paul was there, but most certainly we live in this day of ruin. The last days, the perilous days, the difficult days. And we have instructed and told them that Timothy, though he had a very special gift that he was given, that everyone, every young person that was in that room this week, God wants them to be Timothys. He wants each one of them to be able to stand in a day of ruin, a day of great profession in Christendom, a day where very often many take the name of the Lord Jesus who are not His. And yet they may look, they may speak, they may perhaps even act or act better than some who take the name of the Lord. And yet they are not saved. They are professors. But God is calling them and us to stand in this day. We've told them that they need, as young people, young sisters and young brothers, to have a sound, an outline of sound words. Paul said to Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." They need to have the Word of God in their hearts. And they need to be able to handle the Word of God skillfully. They need to be able to identify that which is false. And to do that, you have to know what is true and what is real. But I want just very briefly to read one verse, chapter 1, verse 12. I actually want to read two verses. Verse 5, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." We spoke to the young people, and young people, this is just a review for you. Paul said to Timothy, "I know of your spiritual legacy. I know that you have, by the grace of God, you had a grandmother who had faith in the Lord Jesus. And this grandmother, though it may not have been popular for her She put that faith and pointed her daughter towards the same Christ that she believed in. And Timothy, I know the days are difficult. And I know, Timothy, that many have left and forsaken me. And many men have come in amongst the saints of God to overthrow the faith of the saints of God. But Timothy, I'm going to tell you, I know your grandmother. I know her faith. I'm reminded of the faith of your mother. And Timothy, I know that this is the same faith that is in you. Young people, as we look around this room, as we have walked over the sidewalks here at Grove City, we have seen your parents and guardians. God has blessed many of you with several generations of God-fearing, God-believing parents and grandparents. Do not take this for granted. It is a spiritual legacy. And your parents and grandparents have in faith and with the determination that if they point you to Christ in your youth, that you will turn to Him. And many of you have professed that, yes, we know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. Well, Paul, who was a man who was in prison, he says, I want to give you this vision. He said, amidst all of the afflictions that I suffer in verse 12, he says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Young people, when you go home, when the real test begins, the Spirit of God is saying to you, do not be ashamed of the gospel of God. Do not be ashamed to suffer for righteousness' sake. Do not be ashamed to stand with those who have like-mindedness according to the Word of God. It is a day that we need to stand for God. We need to be steadfast. We need to be immovable. Paul says, I am not ashamed. And this is the part of the verse that I love so much. And I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul was a man who got it deep in his soul. He spent his whole life on the wrong side of the street. He was a persecutor of those like you and I who owned the name of the Lord Jesus. He was there when Stephen was stoned, and they dropped his clothes at his feet. He had letters that he was carrying to Damascus to imprison those for faith in the Lord Jesus. And when God struck him down with that light that was brighter than the noonday sun, it changed the Apostle Paul forever. And that's why, though he was in prison, young people and guardians and parents, he could say, for I know whom I have believed. And he could say, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Young people, this is what I would like to call a capital verse in the Word of God. Paul says, I know in whom I've believed. When things get rough, when you are pressed on every side, young people, when you're feeling like you cannot make it another moment, when you feel as if you're all alone at school, when you feel those who are your peers will not gravitate towards you because you won't do what they do, speak the language that they speak, dress the way that they dress, you quote this verse that says, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Paul was convinced that the Lord Jesus that changed his life was able to commit that which he had committed unto him against that day. Paul, we didn't spend time talking much about the Apostle Paul, but what a man to write such a letter. He was departing, young people. His time was up, and he was concerned about evil that would come in, and the great house that we spoke about, the real and the unreal all mixed up together, that there would be vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor in the great house. And he wanted you to know through Timothy to be a vessel of honor unto God. He wanted you to know the things to turn away from and the things to follow after. And I close with this final verse. And I'm not sure if you or I, on the eve of when our life would be taken, if we would be writing such wonderful, encouraging words to others. But Paul says in chapter 4, "For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul says, "I have fought the good fight." Young people, what a testimony that you and I can have at the end of a life, if the Lord should tarry, to be able to say that I have fought the good fight. He says, "I have finished my course." The things that the Lord Jesus gave Paul to do, he says, "I have accomplished those things." What does that mean to you as a young person? It means that God expects us to be in this battle for Him. It is a spiritual battle, young people. There are those who would have a desire to cause you to stumble and to fall. There are those, the enemy of our souls, the Satan himself, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, he wants you to throw your arms up and say, "It's not worth following the Lord Jesus." Paul says to you, "It is worth it." And young people, we want you to know that it is worth following the Lord Jesus. He is no man's debtor. If you follow him, if you determine in your heart that I'm going to flee youthful lust, follow after righteousness and love and peace, God will take care of you. I want to tell you, young people, this is God's promise to you. Paul says, "I have kept the faith." Young people, the teachings of the Word of God, the doctrine, do not move from it to the right hand or to the left. We've told you from the Word of God to know the doctrine of Christ, so that you are able to rightly divide the word of truth. And we beg you, young people, who have access to ministry from every person, pastor, church, all over the world on the internet and YouTube, we beg you, young people, to try these things according to the Word of God. Prove whether these things that are being said, that you're downloading onto your iPods and iPhones, whether these things are of the Word of God or they are just things that are mixed up, that will entertain you, that will make you feel good, but will never build the soul, will never help you to fight the good fight. We want you, young people, to test these things in light of the Word of God, so that the end of your life, or when the Lord comes and He raptures us home, you can say to the Lord, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And I love this part. Paul could say, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." You know, we're here this week at EBC and the Olympics are going on in London. And every athlete that is trained for 4 years or 8 years, they have a goal in mind. It is to go to London and win the gold medal. I don't know many athletes that would say, you know, "I'm going there to win the bronze." Perhaps that's all that they do. Out of all of these swimmers or track runners or gymnasts in the world, perhaps they end up with a bronze medal. But you know, I don't know anyone who would receive the bronze medal who wouldn't be happier with the gold medal. Paul had before him the prize, the Lord Jesus. And he says, henceforth for me there is laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Young people, the Lord is the one who will hand out rewards. It's not going to be the saints. It's not going to be your parents. It's not going to be Brother John or myself. The Lord himself, who is the righteous judge. You know, men may not always see what you're doing. Perhaps you sit in your home and you're in your room. Your parents don't always know what you're doing. Oh, these smartphones and iPhones, you know, I could be sitting on a bus or sitting right here and I could be occupied with so many things, some good, some bad. But you wouldn't know what I'm reading. But the Lord, who is the righteous judge, he will give out rewards to every one of us who keeps the faith, who fights the good fight, who finishes their course. And Paul says, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. As I said, it's not my intention to teach all of the things that we've covered this week. But we like to say to the young people very feelingly that we love you. That we care for you. We were once young like you are. There were those who cared for us. There were those who taught us. There are those, some, who have gone on to their reward. But their labor has not been in vain in the Lord. We want to tell you, young people, follow the Lord Jesus. It's time to grow up, some of us as young people, to put away foolishness, to put away silliness. We close with the thought today in our readings about maturity. That the Word of God, that the desire of the Lord Jesus through the Word of God is that we might grow up into maturity. We're going to close in prayer. But we leave open to each of you our phone numbers, our email addresses. Many of you know them. Call. But I like to say this also. Brother Chuck, Brother Amo, Brother John, and myself, we don't want you to think that we're the only ones that care for you. Find brothers and sisters in your local meeting who you can lean on, who you can confide in. And don't tell me this stuff about generation gap and this one and he's got this idiosyncrasy and blah, blah. I don't want to hear that. The saints love you. Develop relationships with them. Think about the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. It wasn't his own flesh and blood, but he called him my child. Your parents that God has given to you, they are not your enemies. Your parents are not given to you to be your friends. They're given to you to be parents. And they're going to tell you, young people, things that you often don't want to hear. That's what instruction is. Love your parents. Listen to them. And parents, I leave with this thought. Every time there is an assembly meeting, take your children there. I'm telling you. There's some of us that are older are testimonies to the faith of parents that said, you know, the most important thing in this world is what they get spiritually. They may grow to be doctors and lawyers, and you may want them to be all sorts of things in this world. But if they flunk out of God's schoolhouse, what is it worth it? Brother John Ajami said tonight about the children that God has given me. Some say you cannot take anything to heaven. That's not true. We can take our children. And may we pray together, you for me and me for you, Young people, pray one for another that we might be vessels of honor in a day of ruin. May the Lord just bless these words of encouragement to our hearts. For his name's sake, amen.